We rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our thoughts to the Psalms today, this Advent season, as we continue to look into the way the Psalms were looking forward to the coming of Christ. Today to Psalm 126, a song of ascent. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as it streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. This is the word of God. We pray. O Lord, proclaim to us the good news of liberty and salvation through Jesus Christ, and give us hearts to believe it. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow members of Zion, children of God. A recent New York Times poll estimated that 64% of Americans still believe in the American dream. It's down the lowest point in almost two decades. But what is the American dream? Well, this is how they define it. The American dream is the ability to start poor and work your way up to become rich. Is that true? Is that your dream? What are your dreams? Today we explore what the psalmist means when he says, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who were dreaming." You must be dreaming. You need someone to pinch you, but this is no dream. God really changes everything. From sorrow to joy, from sowing seeds in a desert of tears, to reaping the beautiful harvest of joy. God makes dreams come true. But is it the American dream? In order to understand what this really means, we need to dream God's dreams and imagine the future that God has in store as he's given it to us in his word. Today we dream of the day where the Lord brings back the captivity of Zion. Maybe your dreams are not the American dream. You don't dream of working hard to become rich someday. But you have other dreams, other hopes, other things that you imagine what your life might be, what your life could be, what your life should be. A family dreams, and they imagine building a future together. They're just about to get married, the young couple, and they have planned of how their life is going to look as they sit down to dinner together in their big house with their big family. He's a carpenter, and she's hoping to be a stay-at-home mom. He's got his own business, and what their plans are to build their own house with a big backyard and a swimming pool and a playground. He'll finish work and come home to her and the kids, and they'll eat their dinners together, one big happy family. But the economy takes a bad turn, and suddenly he can't find work for his carpentry business. They're facing the realization that they might not be able to build that house. And if they want to have a house at all with a swimming pool and a big backyard, she's going to have to go to work now. They're both going to have to work full time in order to pay the bills, and there's not going to be any dinners together. They might have to hold off on having kids or put them in daycare, and suddenly There's a voice in their head saying, yeah, right, in your dreams. A high schooler dreams. And she imagines becoming a famous musician. People tell her she's pretty good at singing. She's been in lots of school musicals. She plays the piano pretty well, and she dreams of the day where she'll get her break, her big break, where she'll have that big record deal, where she'll be the one to end up on The Voice, singing her heart out. But she does get her break in a different way, a broken spirit. She realizes there's a lot of people that are good singers out there. She's not the only one. And auditions are harder to find than she thought. And after 10 years of playing bars and weddings, her dreams begin to fade. She has kids, she becomes a mother, and now she has other priorities. And there's a voice in her head saying, yeah, right, in your dreams. A child dreams of becoming a superhero. He imagines being strong enough to take on all the world's enemies and being fast enough to outrun the train and get to the damsel tied to the tracks in time. But he soon finds out on his 6th birthday that he doesn't have the abilities to do what he thought he could do. His mom and his dad sit him down to tell him that mom is sick. She's got something called cancer. She's going to die. And suddenly he realizes he's not strong enough to take on all these enemies. He's not fast enough to get to the damsel in time. The train is going too fast. And he hears a voice in his head that says, yeah, right, in your dreams. People tell you to make your dreams come true. Set your mind on what you want, and if you commit yourself to it, you can make it happen. But life has a way of crushing our dreams, bringing us back to reality, back to earth. Maybe your dreams aren't to become rich, but there's some other dream you have, and some other way that your life just hasn't turned out the way you imagined it to. Do you hear that voice in your head, saying, yeah, right, in your dreams? What is God doing? He was supposed to free you from your burdens, make your life happy, fix you. But something else has happened. It turns out that your dreams are not God's dreams. Well, the nation of Israel had its own dreams. They imagined the day when their kingdom would become great and powerful. God had promised it to them. They dreamed of a day when a great king would once again sit on the throne, a king like David, when they would be the most powerful kingdom in the world. They dreamed of fruitful fields, huge houses, and riches that are spilling out of the temple treasury. And they thought the day had finally come. Some people have suggested that this psalm was written at about the time when Israel returned from a captivity they had in Babylon. God had done a great thing. He had done what was virtually unheard of in all of history, that a people held captive, overthrown by another nation, taken into exile, would return to their homeland and see their homes once again. Maybe their dreams were coming true. But sometimes dreams don't work out the way we imagine them to. What happens after they return from exile? They come back to a land that's been destroyed by war and famine. Many foreigners have moved into their own houses and taken over their own properties. They've had meager harvests, and the temple and the walls of Jerusalem are in ruins, and they don't have the money to rebuild them, not like they used to be in the days of King David. From one nation to the next, they would continue to be under the power of some other government, from the Persians to the Greeks to the Romans, they would never be really free. So what is God doing? What is this psalm talking about? They hear a voice in their head saying, in your dreams. It turns out for them too, their dreams were not God's dreams. Maybe our dreams are wrong. Maybe we shouldn't be thinking in terms of what my life should be, or might be, or could be. But maybe we should be thinking in terms of what God's dreams are for us. God has a dream, and it is to set a king on the throne of David. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. The captivity of Zion is not about God solving our earthly problems, God making things easy for us, God rescuing us from earthly troubles or earthly poverty. The real captivity is either that we are looking to God to accomplish our dreams, or we're not trusting in God to accomplish his dreams. Either we're looking to God to accomplish our dreams, or we're not trusting in God to accomplish his dreams. That is the captivity of sin. That is the poverty we face. Sin leads us to come up with false dreams and false hopes that are not founded in what God is dreaming, of what our life might be, could be, should be. Sin corrupts our dreams. It ruins our lives when we think that somehow our life in this world is going to be what we dreamt it to be. And then it makes us bitter. It makes us bitter because things haven't worked out the way we planned them to. It makes us forget about what God is imagining. And so we pray, bring back our captivity, O Lord. Bring back our captivity. Redeem our captivity as streams in the south. This is the prayer of Zion. We are praying for God to free us by giving us Christ. Christ is the freedom. And belonging to Zion is not about earthly dreams. It's about a heavenly dream. It's about God's dreams. It's about Christ. God imagined a day when his kingdom would come, when fruitful fields would abound, when he would restore his people to what they should be and have a king on the throne of David. But things don't always work out the way we imagine them to. He comes in tears of sorrow. There is no room for him in the inn. His mother Mary is poor. They have to find a barn to stay in. And his whole life is filled with people not understanding who he really is, or what his life is supposed to be, to the point of death on a cross. But God had a dream. He had a vision. And he brought it to Joseph, Jesus' father, and said, "She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." From the captivity to their sins. That's what he's come to save us from. He frees us from our sins. He liberates us from the bondage of self-made dreams about what we might be, could be, or should be, to find out who we really are, sinners in need of redemption. And then he frees us. He frees us to trust in his promises, no matter the circumstances, no matter the bad choices, no matter the way the people around us have affected us, no matter the way our abilities have limited us, he frees us to dream, to be content with the circumstances, to be forgiven for the bad choices, to forgive others for their bad choices, and to be thankful for the abilities he's given us. In those dreams, you are free. God brings back the captivity of Zion, not in the things of this life, but in a future day, a future harvest, a day which God is dreaming of. Some have supposed this psalm was written about the time that Israel returned from captivity in Babylon. And they limit it to that context, that captivity. But there's so much more here. There's so much more. That was only a glimpse of what God had in store for their future. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. You scatter your seed on dry ground. You cultivate a desert wasteland for all you do, for how much time you put in, for how much effort you put into your life. Sometimes nothing comes up. It doesn't turn out the way you imagined it. But that is the point. For Israel, for you, it's not about our dreams or the results we accomplish. And that's why it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry, to mourn, to repent, to hope in forgiveness, to be sad about things that have happened, and be honest about what your life is, and to know that God is preparing a dream where you will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing the sheaves of harvest with you. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. In our dreams, yes, but these dreams come true. And so a family, dreams of a future. One big halfway family around the dinner table, and it comes true. They decide the best thing to do is to simply move into an apartment for now. He realizes he needs to give up his carpentry business, and he goes to work for some other business, being a builder. He finds more consistent hours and a more consistent paycheck. And with it cutting a few corners here and there in their life, his wife can stay home. He comes home every evening at the same time, and they eat dinner together, they have devotions together, and they're one big happy family. They're free. A young girl dreams of becoming a musician, and her dreams come true. Maybe not in the way she imagined, but now that she's a mother and a wife, her dreams are in her kids. And so she teaches them to sing hymns. She teaches them to play a musical instrument. And the family starts contributing to the church, in the choir, musical accompaniments. And they are free, thankful for the abilities they've been given. A young child dreams of becoming a superhero, and it comes true. Maybe not in the superpowers to defeat cancer or save his mom from death, but in another way, he becomes a superhero by believing he will see her again, by hoping in what Jesus has done and trusting that she will be resurrected one day. So he outruns the train, and he gets to the damsel in time, and he says to his mother, "Don't be afraid. Jesus is with you." He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seeds for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God makes dreams come true. He takes what was only a dream and he makes it a reality. And he has dreamt for us of a day where there is no more sorrow or sighing, where there is no more sinning or dying. It is a dream, but it's so much more. God's changed your sorrow to joy, your seeds in a dry desert of tears to a harvest of fruitful joy. He's taken his own son from death and raised him up, and he will come again in glory. What makes all the difference in the world is understanding that the Christian faith is not about making your own dreams come true, but it's about seeing God's dreams come true. And that's worth dreaming about. God wants you to dream about that. So go ahead and dream, and dream of the day when the Lord brings back the captivity of Zion. Amen.